Good afternoon. Good afternoon and a very, very warm welcome in Jesus' name to this Sunday service of worship. It is a blessing to be with you, to worship our Lord and Savior on His day and to sing His praises. What blessings the Lord rains down on us. Let us return them back in praise to Him. It is good to be here, and a very warm welcome to you. It's good to see you all. Just a couple of intimations before I hand over to Ken. The dates in your diary there, the carols at the castle, that's next Sunday evening. And it's an outdoor in-person service at Ellendonan Castle at 5 p.m. So do come along, do wrap up warm. There will be invites. If you would like to have an invite for handing out to anyone, if you'd like to have a little invite in your hand, they're being made up. If you speak to Ken, he'll make sure you get them in good time to get the invites out. So there are invites for the Carol at the Castle, little in-person invites that you can go along and say, would you like to come? Here you go. So if you do want some of those, speak to Ken, or they'll be available at tonight's service at 6 p.m. The other services are the next service is the Christmas Eve service and the Community New Year service. And we have our invite, our prayer for one invite. And the whole idea of these cards is that you would be praying for somebody. So we've put them out a couple of weeks in advance. You would be praying for someone that you would like to invite along. And if you get a chance, pray that the Lord would give you the opportunity to give them this little card and say, I'd love you to come to the carol service, or I'd love you to come to the community service. They'll be available at the door all the way through till New Year. So please take one, pray who you would like to. You can pray for two people or for 10 if you want, but as many as you can. And even if you just dropped it through somebody's letterbox that you've been praying for, if you don't get a chance to see it, but do use them. These services are fantastic opportunities to invite people to come along in a different setting. It's sometimes a little bit intimidating to come to a church setting if you don't know what's going on. But these are an opportunity to break that barrier. And I think I read a statistic that in some churches, like 80% of people were there because someone had invited them to come along. So it's always the personal touch that makes all the difference in someone's life. So be praying. Do be using these invites to invite people along. So they're there, they're in your bulletin, there will be stack available at the door right up until New Year. Everything else, I believe, is there for you to read. I would really encourage you to read and to comment on the assisted dying consultation, if you look at the top of the third page. But apart from that, everything else is pretty straightforward, and I'll leave you to read through them, and I'll stop jabbering and hand over to Ken. Thank you, Ken.
Thank you. Well, just to echo what Colin was saying there, the opportunity for next Sunday, singing carols at the castle, one of the most beautiful spots on earth, isn't it? And pray for the weather, because wouldn't it be wonderful if it wasn't wet or windy and there was just a wee flick of snow coming down, you know, as we were singing carols, wouldn't it? Just a little bit, not too much, to stop people coming out. But sometimes Christians think it's presumptuous to pray for the weather, but if it's something significant. And to be at the castle and to be singing carols together, to invite people, there will be a short Christian gospel message. Not a long, big preach like on Sunday, but just a short Christian message. So great opportunity to bring someone, a neighbour, a friend who would love to come and sing carols and just hear a sort of 4 or 5 minute gospel presentation. I encourage you to get your big coat out and come along and bring someone along. And if you want some invites, let me know today and I'll get them to you before, early this week anyway. Let's join together in worship of Almighty God. and sing his praises as we sing from Psalm 103 in the Sing Psalms. Praise God, my soul, with all my heart. Let me exalt his holy name. Forget not all his benefits, his praise, my soul, in song proclaim. The Lord forgives you all your sins and heals your sickness and distress. Your life he rescues from the grave and crowns you in his tenderness. And we'll sing down to verse 11 to God's praise. Let's stand and sing together.
Praise God, my soul,
with all my heart. Let me exalt his holy name. Forget not all his benefits, his praise my soul in song proclaim. The Lord forgives you all your sins and heals your sickness and distress. Your life be rescues from the grave and grounds you in his tenderness, and grounds you in his tenderness. He satisfies your deep desires from his unending stores of good, so that just like the youthful vigor is renewed. The Lord is known for righteous acts and justice to downtrodden ones. To Moses he made known his ways, his mighty deeds to Israel's sons, his mighty deeds to merciful and kind, to anger slow and full of grace. He will not constantly reprove, or in his anger hide his face. He does not punish our mistakes, or give our sins their just reward. How great is love as high as heaven towards all those who fear the Lord, towards all those who fear the Lord.
Well, let's bow our heads and pray to our Heavenly Father. Almighty God, our loving Heavenly Father, we praise you for your mighty power, that you are sovereign over all things, that you are the King of the universe, that you are the creator of everything, and that all human beings will one day give account to you. You are the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. You are with the first of them and with the last. And Lord, we praise you and marvel at your love and your care for people. We praise you for your love for us. Each one of us is precious in your sight. Each one of us is created in your image. And each one of us has the hand of mercy held out to us. We praise you that you are a loving and kind and merciful God. Your love is so great, as high as heaven, towards all those who fear you. And so as we praise you and worship you, we pray for that enabling of our hearts to fear you in that right, holy, true way. We praise you for your kindness to us, and ask that you would help us to make room for you in our hearts, to open ourselves wide to the filling of the Holy Spirit and the receiving of all the blessings of heaven through Jesus Christ our Lord. We pray, Lord, that you would help us this festive season to reach out to others and that in your great mercy you would add to our number those who you are saving. Lord, have mercy, we pray. Have mercy on your church. Have mercy on those who are in rebellion against you and turn their hearts towards you. And we pray for our world, and we think of those bereaved and suffering in across the pond in America with a tornado there. Pray for those who are homeless, for those who are missing, for those whose relatives are missing and they don't know what's happened to them. For those who are displaced, Lord, have mercy, and may your comfort and your grace be upon those who are suffering. May your comfort and strength be upon those who are bereft. May your people be a great help and comfort and a light to those who are in a dark place. We pray for this world, and particularly for our own land in the current pandemic and the threat of further closures and lockdowns. And Lord, we don't know what Christmas will hold this year and what will happen, but we pray for wisdom for our leaders, for your mercy, and Lord, that it wouldn't just be something made easier for us, but that in your mercy you would cause folks to turn to you. And Father, we pray especially today for the McLean family in Glenelg who have lost a daughter. And Lord, we pray for your loving comfort, your kindness and your mercy. We pray for Anne and for Jade, for Fiona's husband and for Louise and for the other children. Lord, have mercy and draw them to you. The only place where they can find comfort, would you draw them to yourself. God of all comfort, God of all grace, have mercy, we pray. And have mercy on us and forgive our sins for Jesus' sake. Amen. We're going to read from the Bible now, and we're going to have two readings, one after the other, with a short children's address and a psalm in between. So we're going to read from Luke and chapter 1, from verse 26 to begin with. So Luke chapter 1, verse 26 to verse 38, the birth of Jesus foretold. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son. And you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How would this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who is said to be barren is in her sixth month, for nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left her. Amen. May God bless this reading of his word to us. Now, before we sing, just a couple of words for the boys and girls before you go out. In the reading we've just had, in the next reading I'm about to read from Luke's Gospel, and in the verses around, at the time of Jesus' birth and the events just before it and just after it, there's lots of people, but in Luke's Gospel, that are filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, have you ever heard that before, being filled with the Holy Spirit? And that means God's Spirit coming in and filling a person. When you become a Christian, when you trust in Jesus, you get, guess what? You get another person come and live inside of you. That's a bit weird, isn't it? Another person comes to live inside you. God himself, by his Spirit, comes to live in you. And it's like he opens up your heart, maybe makes your heart get bigger, or gives you a new, bigger heart, and he fills your heart with himself, with his love, and begins to change you to be more like him. So to be filled with the Holy Spirit is to have God come and live inside you. And one of the things we see that happens to people when they're filled with the Holy Spirit, time and again in these verses, is they start singing. They don't get filled with the Holy Spirit by singing, but one of the things they seem to all want to do is when they're filled with the Holy Spirit, they want to sing. It just bursts out of them and they sing praise and worship to God. So here's the thing, just a simple and a short message. You, whoever you are, can have the love of God in your heart. Does that sound good? The love and the power of God come into your heart. That has got to be the best thing ever. Better than any Christmas presents, better than any things you could get or do, to have the love of God Almighty come and rest in your heart. And the Bible talks about that being the hope of glory, God in us, the hope of glory. So I'm going to pray for all the boys and girls, and all the grown-ups as well, and me too. Let's pray for all of us, that we might know what that is for ourselves. Heavenly Father, please help us to open our hearts to you. Please have mercy on us and come and fill us with your Holy Spirit. And I pray that we might truly know for ourselves the love of God in our hearts. Amen. Well, before we go out, boys and girls, we're going to sing from Psalm 18 in the Sing Psalms. If I can find the page. Psalm 18. I love you, Lord. You are my strength. A fortress is the Lord to me, my rock and my deliverer. For refuge to my God I flee. So let's sing Psalm 18 from verse 1 to verse 10. Please stand and we'll sing together to God's praise.
I love you, Lord, you are my strength, a fortress is the Lord to me, my rock and my
I
Luke chapter 1, and we'll pick up the reading again in verse 39, and I'll read through to verse 56. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leapt for joy. Blessed is she who has believed what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished." And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in my Saviour, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down their rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but he has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, even as he said to our fathers." Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months and then returned home. Amen. May God bless this reading of his word. So, being full of Christmas spirit, what does that mean? What does it mean to be full of Christmas spirit? It's a weird kind of phrase, isn't it? People saying, being talk about Christmas spirit. What does it mean? Someone perhaps who loves Christmas so much that they put up their tree and all their decorations in November, that they eat mince pies for half the year, tinsel everywhere. Someone who has one of those front gardens that looks like the Blackpool illuminations with for the whole month of December, with the inflatable snowman and Santa Claus on the roof by the chimney and reindeer all around the house. Or perhaps someone who loves to party and is full of intoxicating spirit. Sometimes that phrase is jokingly used for that, isn't it? But today's readings from the Bible are kind of Christmassy readings, traditional Christmassy readings. And these verses and some of the verses around them that I'll mention in a little while speak of folk being filled with the Spirit. But they're speaking about being filled with the Holy Spirit of God. And we're going to see what that looks like for a few of these characters. Last week we looked at Simeon, who had longed and waited for the arrival of God's Messiah. The Holy Spirit had been upon him, remember, and prompted him to come into the temple at the exact time that Mary and Joseph had come in with the newborn Jesus. Today we're going to look briefly at Mary's character. God's chosen to be the mother of the Messiah. When he came into the world, when Jesus became incarnate, the Son of God, a little baby. But what marks Mary out? What can we learn about being ready to celebrate Jesus' coming? What can we learn about being filled with the Holy Spirit? What can we learn about being ready for Jesus' second coming as we prepare to celebrate his first coming from Mary? Look at what the angel said to her in verse 31 there, and the beginning of verse 32. The angel that visited Mary spoke about Jesus' first advent. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. And he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And then in the second half of verse 32 and verse 33, the angel goes on to speak about Jesus' second coming. That is yet future for us. The Lord will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will never end. So we've seen Jesus' first advent, and we prepare to celebrate it at the time of Christmas, at this time of year. We're also looking out for Jesus' second advent, and we are to prepare ourselves, prepare our hearts to be ready for his return. As we consider these things today, let's take note of the folks in these verses, Mary particularly, but these folks who are said to have been filled with the Holy Spirit. Let's see the effect on them, even as we seek to be filled with the Spirit, to have the love of God fill our hearts, even as we long and pray and seek for that more and more. In verse 35 there, the angel Gabriel said to Mary, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you." Then Mary goes off in verse 39 in her pregnant state to stay with her elderly cousin Elizabeth, the mother of John the Baptist. And maybe the part of the reason that Mary went to stay with Elizabeth for those months, this lengthy trip, was to avoid the stigma, the gossip, the slander, the condemnation from folks who knew she wasn't yet married, and would soon, if not already, be able to see that she was with child. But when Mary arrives at Zechariah's house, Elizabeth's unborn child, John the Baptist, before his birth, leaps for joy inside of Elizabeth's womb. The Holy Spirit is upon this child and his mother, and that the baby is yet unborn and yet has the Holy Spirit, has him leap for joy. And Elizabeth, in verse 41, was filled with the Holy Spirit herself as well. And she bursts out singing as a result. "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favoured that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leapt for joy. Blessed is she who has believed what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished." At which point Mary, filled with the Holy Spirit too, bursts out in songs of praise in her famous Magnificat, this song of praise to God in verses 47 to 45, which we're going to come back to in just a moment. So hold your breath. But a little after our passage, a little after these events, in verse 67, this is just after John the Baptist's birth. His father Zechariah, it says, was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied. And this definitely sounds like a song to me. This is singing. Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come and redeemed his people. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. He has said through his prophets of long ago, salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show mercy to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath he swore to our father Abraham, to rescue us from the hand of our enemies and enable us to serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. Remember last time how we saw Simeon was filled with the Holy Spirit, and how when he saw the newborn Messiah, Jesus Christ, he too burst into song in that famous prayer, the Nunc Dimittis, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light of revelation for the Gentiles, and glory to your people Israel. And I don't know if angels can be filled with the Holy Spirit or not. I don't know how that would work. But the angels, they burst into song in singing. They sing out God's praise as they announce the Lord's arrival to the Bethlehem shepherds in the beginning of chapter 2. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favour rests. So I think it's fair to say from these verses, one common reaction to being filled with God's Spirit is to burst out in singing God's praise. Isn't it great? Isn't it wonderful to sing? To sing out in the congregation, to belt out the praises of God, to be caught up from within with the love of God in your heart, to sing to the glory of God. Now, we don't get filled with the Holy Spirit by singing. We don't sort of conjure up the right atmosphere with the harmonies or have a band playing and think that that's going to make us more spiritual. But it's when we are filled with the Holy Spirit by the grace of God that one of the things that marks that is often the response is to burst out singing praise, singing in joy. And for the rest of our time here, over these next few minutes, I want to look at this remarkable praise song of Mary's, the Magnificat. It's so similar and it's so closely linked to Hannah's song back in 1 Samuel 2 after the birth of Samuel and his dedication at the temple. Hannah's song is kind of a foreshadow, if you like, of Mary's spontaneous outburst as she's filled with the Holy Spirit. And as we look at Mary's Magnificat, we see she praises God for three main things in three sections of this wonderful song. Firstly, she praises God for what he's done for her. Praise God for what he's done for me personally. Secondly, she praises God for his mercy extending to all those who fear him. So God, praise God for his mercy extending to all those who fear him. And then thirdly, praise God for his faithfulness to his people Israel. Let's look briefly at each of these in turn to see how essential each of them are to the worship of God as we prepare our hearts to celebrate his coming. Firstly then, praise God for what he's done for me. Verses 46 to 49. My soul glorifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Saviour. For he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. So as Mary begins this outburst of praise to Almighty God, it's very personal. It's in relation to her personally. And our praise too must have at its core a personal, relational aspect between God and me, between God and you personally. Do I praise God for saving me? Do I look up and say, Lord, I can't believe that I'm saved? We used to sing when we were youngsters, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for loving me. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. I wonder, can you sing those words yourself and really mean them? What an incredible joy it is to be assured for yourself of God's love for you. See, I must be personally saved myself. I must be personally filled with the Holy Spirit myself, for myself, me and God. And I don't get saved myself. I don't get filled with the Holy Spirit myself by just hanging around with others who are. Any more than I do from singing. It may help me enormously to hang around with those who are, to be in the company of those who are saved. But it'll only help me if it acts as a catalyst to guide me to a place of personal, relational commitment to Jesus Christ. Personal repentance, personal turning to Him, personal belief, personal trust, personal dependence upon Christ's sacrifice for my personal sins, for my own personal salvation. Hallelujah. Do you see, it was personal for Mary, all right. Just think that the desire of every young Israelite girl was to be the one chosen by God, to be the mother of the Messiah who was to come into the world. So for Mary to know that she had been chosen in God's perfect plan, that she was the one that God wanted to mother his own son, what a joy. And so too for us to know that you have been chosen from before the foundation of the world by God himself to be one of his beloved, one of his precious, precious children. What a joy that is. What a delight. What a wonder. So praise God personally, because you have personally been called and personally followed Christ. And you know personally the indwelling of his Holy Spirit. And if you're not yet a Christian, or you're not quite sure whether you're there or not, then can I just encourage you to not let it lie. Don't leave it be. But pursue this. Get to the bottom of it. Meet up with someone. Talk to someone you know and trust who is a believer that could encourage you to come on in to God's family. To be filled with the Holy Spirit. To have your heart full of the love of God. So that you will praise Him for what He's done for you personally. Sing out to God. Sing out in a congregation. Sing with all your heart. Sing when you're on your own. If your voice is bad, then not in anyone else's earshot, perhaps. Walk up the hill and sing out to God. Wind the windows up in your car, and when you're driving along, sing out at the top of your voice, but sing in response for God's personally meeting with you yourself. So praise God personally. Secondly, praise God for extending his mercy to all who fear him. This is verses 50 to 53. His mercy extends to those who fear him. From generation to generation, he has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones. Think of Herod, who later on massacred the infants at Bethlehem. But he has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things. And he has sent the rich away empty. His mercy extends. God's mercy extends, praise the Lord. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad here today that God's mercy extends? Aren't you glad that God's mercy extends beyond the barriers of race, of nationality, of class and language? That God's mercy extends down through the ages, across time and across continents, even to us here today in this hall. God's mercy extends to those who fear him. Right here, right now, God's mercy extends to us, to you. Are you grasping out? Are you reaching out for his mercy? His presence is here with the people of God gathered in the name of Jesus. His presence is right here with us. He's not far from each one of us. You may feel distant. You may feel you're a long way from God. But he says no. He is not far from each one of us. And his mercy is extending to us. Even here. Even now. His mercy extends to me. Hallelujah. His mercy extends to all who fear God. In every age. Every generation. Right through the centuries, right across the earth. See, there's only one thing. There's only one thing that will make an eternal difference for any of us. A difference between heaven and hell, between glory and perdition. One thing that will make a difference between eternal salvation and eternal condemnation. The only thing that can cause us to cross over from one to the other, from death to life, is God's mercy connecting with us. That is a vital thing. Absolutely vital, eternally vital, that God's mercy connect with us. Without God's mercy, we are all utterly lost forever. For God extends his mercy. Hallelujah. He extends his mercy in Jesus Christ to all who fear him. Do you want to know God's mercy for yourself? Do you want to know more of God's mercy for yourself? Now, you'd be some kind of insane, blind fool of the first order to say no. No, thank you very much. I don't really want God's mercy. Do you want to know God's mercy yourself more than you do? Yes. There's one thing. There's one path. Fear God. Fear God. A bit later on in Luke's gospel, there was this one insane, blind fool of the first order who spent his dying minutes hurling insults at Jesus Christ as both hung crucified. "Aren't you the Christ? Save yourself and us," he cried out. But he was rebuked by another who was nailed to the scaffold next to him with these words,
Don't you fear God, he reprimanded. Even now in your last minutes of taking a breath before you go to meet him, don't you fear God? Of all times, of all places, don't you fear God now? And this guy's own fear of God had led him to plead for mercy from Christ. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And guess what? God's mercy extended to the one who feared him. God's mercy extended. I tell you the truth. Today you will be with me in paradise. Hallelujah. Don't you fear God? It's a question we should be asked regularly. It's a question we should ask ourselves daily. Never let it be said of us, as it was so often said of the wayward people of God, that there is no fear of God before their eyes. Rather, let us deliberately, daily, set the fear of God before our way. Before we begin each day, before me constantly, I set the Lord alone. Because he is at my right hand, I'll not be overthrown. Let's endeavour not to be face to face with anyone in the morning when we get up until we've been face to face with God. So we need God's mercy. It's crucial. We must fear God because he extends his mercy to those who fear him. Praise God that he extends his mercy to all those who fear him. Then finally, the third thing that Mary praises God for is his faithfulness to his people Israel. In verses 54 to 55, he has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, even as he said to our fathers. So here's Mary singing out in jubilant outbursts. And of all the women of all of Israel's history, Mary had been chosen by God to be the mother of the Christ child. But her praise goes way beyond her own personal situation, utterly incredible and unique though it was. Her praise rises to God for all those who fear him and to whom his mercy is extended. And a praise rises to God for his faithfulness to his nation, to his people, to her nation, the people of Israel, God's people. The Old Testament has over 300 prophecies and promises of the coming of the Messiah. From Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15, where God addresses the serpent and speaks of the one who is to come. He will crush your head and you will strike his heel. Through to Malachi, the last book in the Old Testament, and the last verse of the last chapter of the last book of the Old Testament. See, I will send you the prophet Elijah before the great and dreadful day of the Lord comes. The Lord had foretold the Messiah's coming time and again, even as he has now foretold the second coming of Christ. Israel knew time and again. Israel was without excuse, as we are without excuse. Was Israel faithful to God and his commandments? No. They flouted his instruction to them time and again, continually. The Old Testament is full of God's continual rebukes and discipline and chastening of his people. They were unfaithful. They were wayward. They were a people who erred in the heart. But God is ever still faithful to his word, to his promise, to his covenant with Abraham. Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassions they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever wilt be. God, friends, is faithful. He's faithful today, yesterday, today, the same forever. He is faithful to his people. He's faithful to his promises. He is faithful in his mercy extending to all those who fear him in every generation, the world over. He's faithful to us, personally, faithful to you and to me. So as the Christmas carol says it, let every heart, think about your own heart, let every heart prepare him room, as meek souls will receive him still, the dear Christ enters in. Let us pray for a moment. Heavenly Father, we praise you and thank you for your faithfulness, for your mercy, and for your personal love for each one of us. Help us now to open our hearts, fully, to not hold back, to welcome and embrace your Holy Spirit into our very beings, into our lives, into our minds and hearts. Lord, open our hearts, enlarge our hearts, fill them with the love of God, fill them with your Holy Spirit. Take away all our sins, Lord, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Well, let's sing of his personal grace towards each one of us as we sing the hymn on the reverse of your bulletin sheet. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now I see. Let's raise the roof as we sing, full of the love of God and of the Holy Spirit.
Amazing grace, thou sweetest sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found, was blind. We've no to sing God's praise. And when we first begun,
after they had prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. See, the sovereign Lord comes with power, and his arm rules for him, and his recompense accompanies him. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms, and he carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young.
The Lord bless you, and the Lord keep you, and the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you, and the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Amen.